Good day to you. This is Kim Harden, and I am reading the Clinton Journal for Friday, June 19th, 2026. I hope you're having a great day. Quick check on your weekend weather from the National Weather Service. Saturday will be partly cloudy with a high of 83, and Sunday for Father's Day, unfortunately, we're going to have some thunderstorms, so indoor activities are going to be best, I guess. High of 76, showers expected on Monday as well in the morning with a high of 75, and then Tuesday through Thursday, high averaging around 80 and partly cloudy. Start the news with the lead story by Gordon Woods. City Council hears plans for new YMCA fundraising. Clinton Community YMCA Executive Director Renee Clover talked to city commissioners Tuesday about a plan to build a new Y on the Prairie Passage site located between North Center and Jackson Street. About $8.2 million of the $10 million to build Phase 1 already has been raised, Clover said. I want to give you a 2 or 3 minute summary of our vision, Clover said. I've given a lot of vision tours to donors and potential donors. Clover said the plan goes back more than 10 years when the YMCA board was looking for more gym space to house the WISE program requirements. And it's developed into a lot more than that as far as a meeting the needs of the community and the school district, Clover said. We feel like this facility, a new YMCA, will do so much for the community in DeWitt County. Clover said there was no other organization that left as large an imprint on the area when it came to recreation. With our youth programming, all the way to adult programming, senior citizen programming. The Clinton Y had more than 38,000 visitors in 2025, according to Clover. And those are the ones who are checking in, Clover said. There's a lot who don't check in. The Y also had 45,000 participants in its programs in 2025. He said the mission of the new facility would be to offer the community more services. Part of Phase 1 of the new facility would include a dino dome, a retractable cover to create indoor and outdoor pool space. We could offer it to the community without having to be a YMCA member, Clover said. The Farnsworth Group Peoria is designing the new facility. He said the Y wanted and needed collaboration with the city. Clover also said the Y had worked with the Warner Foundation for some time to increase traffic to the downtown area, and the new Y is part of that plan. He said they hope to host various tournaments at the new facility, citing youth sports as a potential economic driver for the area and an element that attracts new families. Clover also said there was an effort to make the new Y aesthetically pleasing for the neighborhood. If fundraising reaches about $9 million by September, Clover said, it was conceivable that the project could break ground in the spring of 2027. There's a wonderful picture on the front page as well of Pat and Jean Rogers recognized on Flag Day. The DeWitt Clinton chapter of Daughters of the American Revolution hosted the second annual Community Flag Day ceremony on June 13th at Veterans Point, Weldon Springs State Park. The chapter honored Pat and Jean Rogers for their volunteer service with the HOOAH, a veterans support group. For more than a decade, the Rogers have helped the group raise funds to create outdoor opportunities for veterans. Presenting the Community Service Award to Rogers, along with a donation from the chapter, was Terry Lemmel, chapter registrar. Additionally, Sarah and Keith Volker of Clinton were also honored at the DAR Community Flag Day ceremony for their consistent and proper display of the U.S. flag at their home at 1011 East Main Street. The couple received a certificate from the chapter along with a U.S. flag flown over DAR National Headquarters in Washington, D.C. The award was presented by Chapter Flag Committee Chairman Lynn Gray and Regent Edith Brandy Looney to the Volkers. Here's an upcoming event for 4-H members to demonstrate horsemanship at DeWitt County 4-H Fairgrounds. In Clinton, the DeWitt Macon and Piatt 4-H Horse Show is coming to the DeWitt County Fairgrounds this month, bringing 2 days of family-friendly fun. This free event is open to the public and offers 4-H members an opportunity to demonstrate their equestrian skills. The event scheduled June 27th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Members will compete in halter, English, Western, and trail classes, demonstrating control, style, and communication with their horses. On June 28th from 1 to 6 p.m., it's a day of high-energy fun and games as members showcase costumes, speed, and agility. It's always exciting to see the dedication and passion our 4-H members put into taking care of their homes and training for the horse show every year, says 4-H Program Coordinator Marissa Capps. These youth are great examples of what 4-H stands for and how hard work and a willingness to learn can help you grow in your craft. There are going to be some drainage water workshops in June and July. The Illinois Land Improvement Contractors Association, ILICA, will offer its full-day drainage water workshop at 3 locations across Illinois this summer. Freeport on June 24th, Decatur July 9th, and Noble on August 5th. The workshop is designed to provide practical research-based training on conservation drainage, water quality practices, and the latest strategies shaping the future of Illinois agriculture. The workshop brings together contractors, producers, landowners, agency staff, and conservation professionals for a comprehensive look at edge-of-field practices, nutrient loss reduction, wetlands, and WOTUS considerations, USDA program updates, and current research from university and agency partners. Each location features similar agendas, local tours, and speakers representing a wide range of partner organizations. Registration is just $20 per person and includes lunch. Full event details and registration are available at illica.net/events. Workshop dates and locations for June 24th, Highland Community College in Freeport, Illinois, July 9th, Richland Community College in Decatur, Illinois, and August 5th, Terry L. Bruce West Richland Center in Noble, Illinois. Note that the first installment of real estate tax bills are due July 17th. DeWitt County real estate tax bills will be mailed by June 10th, 2026. The first installment is due July 17th, 2026, and the second installment is due September 4th. Residents who have not received their tax bills by June 19th should contact the DeWitt County Treasurer's Office at 217-935-7820. Failure of a taxpayer to receive a tax bill does not relieve them of their tax liability. If a mailing address has been changed, call the Supervisor of Assessments Office at 217-935-7800. Any questions on assessments or exemptions should be directed to the Supervisor of Assessments Office. Tax payments may be made at any banking institution in DeWitt County, at the DeWitt County Courthouse on 201 West Washington in Clinton from 8:30 till 4:30 Monday through Friday, in the drop box at the northwest end of the courthouse parking lot, or mailed to P.O. Box 439, Clinton, Illinois 61727. The payment coupon attached to the bottom of the tax bill must accompany the payment. For any further questions, contact the DeWitt County Treasurer's Office at 217-935-7820. Turning to the obituaries now, there are two today. Donald Marvin Fugate, 88, of Springfield, formerly of Clinton, passed away on June 8th with his wife and family by his side. Looking through his information, looks like Don was a long-time farmer his whole life, and he spent 42 years working at Caterpillar Tractor. Services were held at the Clinton United Methodist Church on June 15th, starting with a visitation at 10 a.m., followed by a church service at 11 a.m., and the burial following at Weldon Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, memorials were made to the Clinton United Methodist Church. Moran and Goble Funeral Home was in charge of the arrangements. Condolences and memories may be shared at Moran and Goble, MoranandGoebel.com. Additionally, Dolores J. Primer, 91, of Clinton, passed away at 11:15 on June 12, 2026, at Goldwater Care in Clinton. No services are planned at this time. The family has entrusted Calvert Funeral Home, Clinton, with the cremation remains. Looks like Dolores was employed by Taylor Abstract Company for 52 years. And she leaves behind grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren. A very long, full life. Online condolences may be made at www.calvertmemorial.com. Some fun activities coming up, including Weldon Springs annual Kids Fishing Derby on Saturday, June the 20th. Weldon Springs State Park will offer a kids fishing derby on Saturday, June the 20th to celebrate Free Fishing Days. This year's event is sponsored by the Weldon Springs Foundation and Boy Scout Troop 142. Registration will begin at 8:30 a.m. at the concession area. The derby will run from 9 to 11 a.m. Trophies will be awarded for first, second, and third places for the number of fish caught and from the bank in three age divisions, 6 and under, 7, 8, and 9, and 10, 11, 12. There is no registration fee. No experience is needed, and volunteers will be available to assist participants. In the case of heavy rain or lightning, the event will be canceled. Free Fishing Days is an opportunity for those who want to give fishing a try or those who haven't fished for a while to experience the fun of one of our most popular forms of outdoor recreation. Young people and adults alike can discover the joys of fishing and develop an appreciation for our lakes, rivers, and streams and the wildlife in and around them. Illinois and non-resident anglers can fish without purchasing annual fishing licenses, salmon stamps, or inland trout stamps during the four-day Free Fishing Days promotion, which is June 19th to 22nd. For more information, call the park office at 217-935-2644. Here's a story I don't want to miss for those of us with visual impairments. It's from Dr. Vance Thompson, the Prairie Doc. Don't rub your eyes, he says. Keratoconus is one of the most important eye diseases for parents, teachers, coaches, and adults to understand because if caught early, we now have the ability to help save vision and reduce the chance of future corneal transplantation. One of the most overlooked contributors to this disease is something many people do every single day without thinking about it, rubbing their eyes. People often do not realize how much repetitive eye rubbing can damage the eye. When we rub our eyes, we are pushing on the eyeball and especially on the cornea, the clear front window of the eye that provides most of the eye's focusing power. Over time, repeated pressure can weaken this delicate structure. For many people, rubbing begins innocently because their eyes itch from allergies, dryness, or irritation. Unfortunately, rubbing can become habitual. Patients often push harder and harder over time to achieve the same temporary feeling of relief without realizing they may be harming their vision. In some individuals, especially those genetically predisposed, repeated rubbing or pressure can contribute to the development or progression of keratoconus. Keratoconus occurs when the cornea becomes weakened and begins to thin and bulge outward like a cone-like shape. When this happens, light no longer focuses properly, leading to blurred vision, increasing astigmatism, glare, halos, ghosting, and progressive visual distortion. If left untreated, severe cases can eventually require corneal transplantation. Eye rubbing is not the only source of pressure. We also see damage from what some doctors call pillow diving, where patients press their eyes into a pillow while sleeping, particularly stomach sleepers or side sleepers. Sometimes we see one eye with very little astigmatism and the other eye with a large amount, and the patient will tell us that the worse eye is the one that they constantly rub or sleep on against the pillow. Many patients later say, I wish someone had warned me earlier. Children are especially important to watch because keratoconus often begins during the teenage years and can progress rapidly in young patients. Parents may notice frequent eye rubbing, squinting, changing glasses prescriptions, headaches, or declining school performance related to vision. Kids with allergies are particularly at risk because itchy eyes drive the urge to rub. Treating allergies and dry eye disease can help reduce this cycle. That is why comprehensive eye examinations are so important. Modern corneal imaging, called corneal topography, allows eye doctors to map the shape of the cornea and detect early keratoconus, sometimes even before vision becomes severely affected. Detecting the eye disease early can be life-changing. One of the greatest advances in eye care has been corneal cross-linking in this treatment, riboflavin. In this treatment, riboflavin, vitamin B2, eye drops, and ultraviolet light are used to strengthen and stabilize the cornea. Cross-linking does not simply treat symptoms, it addresses the underlying weakness of the cornea itself. When performed early, especially in children and young adults, it can dramatically reduce progression and lessen the likelihood of needing a corneal transplant later in life. It is very important to stop rubbing your eyes, treat the underlying cause of itching, and make sure children and adults at risk are screened for keratoconus. Early detection and modern treatments like cross-linking are helping preserve vision for an entire generation of patients. A. Gregory, South Dakota native, Vance Thompson, MD, has been refractive corneal and cataract surgery in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, the state he grew up in since 1991. He is an internationally recognized specialist in refractive corneal laser, phakic IOL, and lens replacement surgery. He is the founder of Vance Thompson Vision Sioux Falls, South Dakota, which has grown to serve in the Mid and Mountain West with 9 locations. Dr. Thompson also serves as a professor of ophthalmology at the Stanford USD School of Medicine. As a leading international researcher, he has played a key role in development of the most advanced technologies and techniques for both laser and implant vision correction. He has served as the medical monitor or principal investigator in over 130 FDA-monitored research trials studying laser and implant surgery. Follow the Prairie Doc at www.prairiedoc.org. Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. Prairie Doc programming includes On Call with the Prairie Doc, a medical Q&A show most Thursdays at 7 p.m. on YouTube and streaming on Facebook, 2 podcasts and a radio program on SDPB Sundays at 6 a.m. and 1 p.m. Back to news. Produce pressure. Fresh produce is becoming a luxury, say 1 in 3 Illinois families. For almost a third of Illinois families, fresh fruit and vegetables are no longer a grocery staple. They are a luxury. A new survey of 3,004 households by Advance America found that 32% of Illinois families are buying less fruit and vegetables on each shopping trip compared to a national average of 34%, while 51% say their overall diet is less healthy than it was 2 or 3 years ago. The produce aisle has become a decision between good intentions and grocery math. For households that have not reduced their intake, the costs are still being felt. On average, Illinois families say they are now spending an extra $23.40 per month on just fruit and vegetables, 9% more than at the same time last year. Some states are feeling that increase more sharply than others. The top 5 states spending the most extra per month on produce are North Dakota, spending $99 more per month, which is a 38% increase. Idaho, $52 more per month, a 20% increase. Arkansas has a 17% increase and is spending 44 extra dollars a month. Georgia also spending 44 extra dollars a month with a 17% increase. And New Jersey the same, 44 extra dollars and a 17% increase. Note that percentage increases reflect the average reported rise compared to last year's produce expenditure. There's a lovely event that's coming up in Lexington, a summer morning in the garden on Saturday, June 27th from 9 until 12 noon. Tickets are $20 and available online or in person at Lexington City Hall or through the Lexington in Bloom Facebook page. All the proceeds for this event are used to purchase trees for the City of Lexington green areas. Richard Koritz on Point has an op-ed today about graduations. It is that time of year when our kids and grandkids graduate from high school and college. Every school and location tends to do it differently. Then, if one has to travel to the event, there are additional concerns with that travel. This past week, my wife and I traveled to Falls Church, Virginia for the high school graduation of a grandson. What got my attention to start with was the gas prices and motel costs. For those of us in Illinois, we can be proud of our gas taxes. Illinois has some of the highest gas taxes in the nation. We do rank second fiddle to our friends in California. We went through Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. Every gas price was lower than Illinois. We saw gas for $3.19 in Indiana, and we left here at $4.74. Every business in Illinois that uses gasoline is paying more than our competitors next door. Is it any wonder that businesses and residents are leaving Illinois? The hotels tell a different story. We drove the first night without a reservation since we didn't know how far we would travel. We ended up in a huge thunderstorm in eastern Ohio at a sleep inn. Not your fanciest hotel, but the room was clean and the breakfast was pretty good. The price was $97, which I thought was great. On Sunday afternoon, we arrived at the Marriott in Falls Church, Virginia. It is a suburb of Washington, D.C. I had tried to book a reservation on the internet, but kept getting told the hotels were sold out of handicap rooms, if not the entire hotel. I gave up and used an American Express travel agent to cut the crap and find us a room. The travel agent did her job and got us the room, but the cost was a shade bit more than that sleep in. It cost us over $400 a night for that room, and if we had stayed a third night, the price went up to over $700. Now, it was a beautiful hotel, and the food was served on real plates and silverware, but my country roots were hurting. Lesson learned, get your reservation early because the D.C. market is as volatile as it gets. We finally got to the graduation on Monday, but it was nothing like a Central Illinois graduation. There are multiple high schools in Falls Church. Three of those schools had their graduations on Monday at the basketball arena for George Mason University. The ceremonies were held at 9, 2, and 6 in this 7,000-seat arena. I am amazed at how efficient the university was at getting the crowd out and the new group in, since each school had over 600 graduates. The ceremony itself was a typical graduation ceremony, save for graduates. From my less than scientific observation, at least 25% of the graduates were ethnic Muslim. A significant proportion of Hispanic background, there was a noticeable Indian Asian group. One of the student speakers, who spoke excellent English, said he was an eighth grade non-English speaking boy when he came to the United States from Afghanistan. He gave a lot of credit to his teachers for assisting him with his assimilation into American society. Another girl was from Bolivia, and she was acknowledged for her English acclimation. I don't know how many languages I heard out in the foyer of that arena. The kids were all speaking English to each other and then speaking their native tongue to their older family members. I was simply intrigued by the diversity of the setting. To that thought, we went out to dinner afterwards, and our grandson, who was born in Germany as an American citizen, was speaking English to my wife and I, but would revert to Armenian when speaking to his mother, who is very fluent in English and is a U.S. citizen. The differences in settings between Washington, D.C. and Clinton, Illinois were acutely obvious, but there was also the sameness of being Americans at a high school graduation. We asked our grandson what his plans were after graduation. The young man would start work the next week at the Pentagon in the maintenance department as a trainee. After spending his last semester of high school going through all of the security clearances, it is my understanding that he is one of the youngest employees there. Our nation is evolving and growing, and every graduate adds to the future of the country. Richard Corwitz is an Illinois native, attorney, and former DeWitt County State's Attorney. In the law enforcement blip from the Clinton Police Department, a couple of arrests were made. On June 13th, Michael Studnicki, 48, of Clinton, was charged with aggravated assault and disorderly conduct. Studnicki was transported to the DeWitt County Jail and released to corrections. Also on June 13th, Kevin Millsbaugh, 48, of Decatur, was arrested on two Macon County warrants. Millsbaugh was transported to the DeWitt County Jail and released to corrections. A PSA here from Nicor Gas. If you smell gas, act fast. Natural gas is a colorless and odorless fuel. For safety reasons, a chemical odorant called mercaptan is added for easy detection of a suspected natural gas leak. The odorant has a distinctive rotten egg type odor. If you detect even a small amount of gas in the air, do not try to identify the source or stop the leak yourself. Leave the area immediately and move a safe distance away from the potential leak while avoiding any action that may cause sparks. Avoid using any sources of ignition, such as cell phones, cigarettes, matches, flashlights, electronic devices, motorized vehicles, light switches, or landlines, as natural gas can ignite from a spark or open flame, possibly causing a fire or explosion. While natural gas is non-toxic, in confined spaces, it can displace oxygen, potentially leading to asphyxiation. Call Nicor Gas at 888.NICOR, N-I-C-O-R, the number 4 and the letter U, 642-6748, or 911 once you are out of the area and in a safe place. Couple of grocery specials for the weekend starting today, Friday the 19th through Sunday the 21st at Ruler Foods. Kroger 80% lean ground beef, $4.99 a pound, limit of 4 of those. Kroger bacon, 16-ounce select varieties, limit 4 for $3.79. Get a whole seedless watermelon for $3.99. And if you need a grill to grill those hamburgers up, there's an Americana walkabout grill for $49.99 while supplies last, limit 1. You'll need a couple of ice creams for that. Kroger ice cream, 48 ounces, limit 4, 2 for $5. Kroger kettle cooked chips, 8 ounces. Corn chips, select varieties, limit 4, 2 for $3. And sparkling ice, a 12-pack, two of those 12-packs for $18. Also, to help you get your Father's Day grill going, Kroger baby back pork ribs or St. Louis style pork ribs, $2.99 a pound. Kroger brats or Italian sausage, 18 ounces for $3.99, and $1.99 a pound for Heritage Farm boneless skinless chicken breast. You'll need a little bit of vegetables with that, so how about some Kroger coleslaw, a 16-ounce classic garden salad, or 12-ounce shredded iceberg lettuce. 3 for $5. You can get all three of those. And for dessert, $1.99 for strawberries for 16 ounces, or blackberries for 6 ounces. You want to put that on that ice cream. And Washington cherries, $3.99 a pound. Add some sweet corn at $2.99 a pound for Kroger sweet corn, and $1.59 for sliced white mushrooms for an 8-ounce package. can get bell peppers, $1.39 a piece, and red or white grapes, $1.89 a pound. Thank you for listening. I enjoyed reading for you today. This is Kim Harden reading for the Clinton Journal for Friday, June 19th, 2026. Have a great weekend.